quick reminder about tomorrow night. We're having our homemade chili cook-off, and so we need you to bring homemade chili, and if you're bringing it, we need you to sign up. So sign up on your way out this morning for that, tomorrow night at Monday Night for the Master. If you look in my car and you look in my wife's car, you're going to see two different things. It is on, by the way. I know that's the first question. Elliot, have you turned it on? It is on, but we're not clicking the next slide. All right, so I'm still... All right. Tom, me and you. In our cars, if you look in my car, in the cup holders, you generally won't find anything, and in the area there where you might lay something, there's no trash there, right? In my console, where my arm goes and you pop that thing open, there's a lot of stuff in there, all right? In my wife's car, it's kind of the opposite. And you'll find some things in her cup holders and in her little tray in the front. In fact, I tried to wager with her last night and gain a victory of some sort, but she wouldn't bet me that there's not some wadded up receipt or napkin wadded up. So she has that stuff there, even stuffed in the cup holder. But her console, you can get in there and find things. Okay. So we're different. So I've tried to win her over. She's tried to convince me. I tell her, I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And so we just go back and forth, back and forth. So we're going to talk about marriage this morning. And if you're not married, but you plan to be married someday, then obviously this is important information today. If you're single and you do not plan to marry in the future, a couple things. One is, there's no doubt you know some married people, maybe some of your children or grandchildren, and so pay attention for godly advice that you can give to a married couple. And then just basic principles that apply to all relationships. But God tells us things about marriage that are entirely different than what we hear in the world. And one of those things is 1 Corinthians 7:33. It's ironic that Paul is actually making the case here that if you're single, because of the times, as he's writing this, the times were so uncertain, Paul says it's better. He wished people would be like him, single, so they could fully devote their lives to God. But in saying that, Paul speaks a truth about marriage, that a married man, is concerned about how to please his wife, and a married woman concerned about how to please her husband. That's their concern. But that lays out actually a very strong principle from the Bible on marriage, and that is this. Your marriage will improve not because you figured out how to finally change your spouse. Your marriage will improve because you finally focused on changing you. And it's a focus on being a better husband, being a better wife. We have four big passages on marriage in the New Testament. We'll look at all four today. So starting in Ephesians 5, verse 25. We'll start with husbands, which says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or without such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies." Scripture tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. This isn't feel love. Every husband feels some love for his wife. This is treat her like Christ treated the church, right? And so it's not feel love, it's show love. Act lovingly towards your wife. We know from 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, it's not rude, and so on. So these are the ways as a husband that we are to treat our wives. Now, we might ask, how much? How loving? God, how loving are we talking here? And God gives a couple explanations for just how loving. Now, one is, as your own body. God says, husbands, you know how you like you? You need to treat her that way. Husbands, has your wife ever gotten upset about dumb stuff? Don't answer that, but I just want to ask. Has she ever gotten upset about something dumb? A few years ago, my foot started hurting. And one day it hurt a little bit, and I noticed this, so I started limping a little bit. The next day it hurt worse, next day it hurt worse. I'm thinking I've fractured a bone or something. So I go to the foot doctor, they do a scan. Well, maybe a little hairline fracture. Here, wear this boot. So they put me in this boot. Anybody worn it? Who's been a boot wearer, right? You've worn the boot? Big thing that rolls like this? So I wear the boot. It actually helps. You know, first couple days, it's quite weird. After that, I don't even think about it. I remember one time coming out of Walmart, and I thought to myself, you've been hobbling in this store and haven't thought once about the fact that you're wearing this big old boot. But I got used to it. I like the boot. It helped my foot feel better. I never once thought, you stupid foot, what is wrong with you, right? I'm not going to wear a boot. It's your fault. You suffer. Because my foot's part of me. Does that make sense? Husbands, you love her like you love you. If your wife is upset about something, or she cares a lot about something, God says, husbands, you care about that. God says, husbands, if your wife is upset about something, you're upset. If she cares, you care. Why? Because she's part of you. Look at 1 Peter 3. Here's another big passage. In fact, 1 Peter 3:7, if I were to pick one, this would be it. This is, to me, the best verse for us as husbands. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. God tells us, love your wives in an understanding way. I've had, you know, numerous couples in counseling, and the husband, this is very typical, the husband will invariably say, she's frustrated at him. He'll invariably say, you know what, I work hard. I work hard every day. I provide. I come home, I help some around the house. You know, I mean, I take out the trash. I've been picking my clothes up. She's still mad at me. It's never enough, you know. I'm not out cheating on her. I'm not out getting drunk every weekend. I don't get it. And what he doesn't realize is she's wanting time with him. She's wanting him to listen to her. And he thinks, and he's saying, hey, I'm working. And if God were to confront him and say, hey, what's going on? He said, God, I don't know about her. I am working so hard trying to be a good husband. He's not doing it in an understanding way. Right? Once in a while, Stephanie will say to me, I don't feel loved by you. Now, when she says that, invariably, every time it irritates me. And every time I know good and well I love her, right? So I shake my head, but it's this different model that God made. And so when I stop and think about it, what I find is true every time is about the past 4 or 5 days, I haven't spent any time with her. I haven't talked with her. I haven't listened to her. And she doesn't feel close to me. That's how you love your wife in an understanding way. Husbands, for most women, communication means this. If your wife has ever said, and young men who will marry someday, you're going to hear this, so get ready. If your wife has ever said, you never talk to me, or we don't communicate, what she may mean is this. You don't share with me. You don't listen in an empathizing way. Guys, we are hardwired that when our wife comes and presents a problem to us, we want to fix it, right? Problem, bad, fix, good. I mean, it's simple, very simple. But God, for some reason, made wives different. problem means I want you to hear and care. Not fix. Right? 9 times out of 10. Not fix. They want us to hear and care. That's what they mean by communication. When Scripture says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, does any husband in here fully understand his wife? I don't know why God made men and women so different. That's a nice way of saying that. Men and women so different. I don't know. But He did tell us, He knew He made us different. He says, guys, I know they're different. Study her. Learn about her. Another secret, write this down. Husbands, when you're communicating with your wife, you're connecting with her. Write that down. All right, a couple other things quickly. Showing honor. Husbands, we are to honor our wives. Show them respect as the weaker vessel. Colossians 3, look at this. Colossians 3, let me back up here. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. It also tells us, fathers, do not be too harsh with our children. Do not embitter your children. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Men, we have the capacity to be heartless. That's a strength in one setting, and it's a weakness with our wife. And so God tells us, be gentle with them. They are heirs with us. And this is a reminder, husbands, you're not better, you're just different. You have a different role. It's not a better role. We're equals. We're co-equals in God's eyes. And to reinforce this, from God's perspective, God says, husbands, if you don't pay attention, I will stop listening to your prayers. That's how serious God is about it. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. He feeds it and he protects it. And husbands, we need to protect our wives sometimes from us. Right? Amen. You could argue that the man who hurts your wife the most is you. We need to protect our wives. We need to be kind and patient. So God's basic idea of marriage is you focus on what the other one needs. You give to them. And I'll give you another of the four main passages in 1 Corinthians 7. On the topic of intimacy. Verse 2, because of the temptation of sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. And then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. One thing that really jumps out from this is it is entirely different from the world's model of marriage. The world's model of marriage is married, single. Or single, married. The world's model is I am an individual and nobody tells me what I can or cannot do. The world's model is I am my own person and I don't have to ask anybody for permission for anything. The world says it's me and I will choose what to do with me. And God says you two belong to each other. You belong to each other in decisions. You belong to each other financially. You belong to each other emotionally. You belong to each other with intimacy. You are to give and think about what your spouse needs. So a couple quick things on this topic. One is, if this part of your marriage is not functioning, I'm not saying one spouse wants more time with intimacy. I'm saying one spouse does not want to be intimate any longer. And it's not for health reasons that both understand, then this is a problem. If you've ever had a house with termites, you realize one thing, if you know nothing else, you know one thing. We cannot ignore this. If you have a house with black mold, you know one thing. You may not know anything else, but you know one thing. We cannot ignore this. And Scripture tells us, do not ignore this. Okay? It may be challenging. It may require you to seek counseling. It may require you to seek someone you look up to. It may require a lot of work together as a couple. It may require some things. But we would be foolish and going against God to ignore this part of our marriage. All right, Ephesians 5:22. Let's talk about wives for a little bit. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. God's model is the original model. Remember, the world's model is single, married. Married, but I'm still very much independent. And God's model is you are very much connected. You become one. You're dependent upon each other. Scripture tells us that the husband leads and the wife supports that leadership. She is the helpmate. And that's God's model. He's not changed his mind. We live in a world that makes it hard to do this, doesn't it? We live in a society that makes it very difficult. Partly because there is a history, husbands, lest we complain too much. We have our own kind to blame. There's a history of men taking advantage of women and abusing women. And so 1 Peter 3 echoes this. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So you might say, well, what if my husband is a jerk? Right? No amens. What if my husband is thoughtless? What if my husband is heartless? What if my husband is uncaring? What if he's immature? And this verse actually says, God says, I know that, because we have unbelieving husbands here, right? Husbands that, in fact, this doesn't say unbelieving, it says do not obey the word. Well, if they don't obey the word, what do they obey? Themselves. And if a man's obeying himself as a husband, he's not a good husband. And God is saying, you still honor him. You still respect him. You still submit to him. And that in that way, you may win him over. And so, the teaching throughout is, husbands, you love your wives not because she is such a good wife. Wife, you love your husband and support his leadership not because he's a great husband. But you do it because that's what God tells us to do to have a great marriage. Let's read on in verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of your heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. We live in a society in which a woman feels great about herself if she looks a certain way. Now, I'm not saying that God says, ladies, for you to look beautiful is bad, because the truth is, that's how God made you. The scripture talks about a woman's hair is to her beauty. God made women on purpose beautiful. Okay? So that is closely connected with how you feel about you. But scripture reminds us here, it's not saying don't ever wear jewelry. It's saying don't decide that your goodness comes from your outward, just your outwardness, okay? A woman's value is what's in. That's the beauty that God says is truly, truly eternal. It is priceless. And that is what wives, that's what you want to seek first and foremost. The picture God is painting here is a picture of a match. You ever taken two Legos and tried to put them together the wrong way? You notice they don't fit? I mean, there's a way they fit and there's a way they don't fit. And God is telling us, husbands, you lead, but you treat her like Jesus treated the church. You lift her up. Wives, you support his leadership, but you build him up. And they fit together. What about a woman who's strong-willed? She has a strong-willed, outspoken personality. What about that? And the answer is that in that woman, a couple things. Number one, she will still have some of that personality. She may have to work harder at fitting as a godly woman. She may have to work harder at it. Number two, this will be seen most evidently in how she treats her husband and how she speaks about him. And so a wife, it doesn't mean that a wife cannot have a strong personality. It means with her spouse, she is his helpmate. She builds him up. Wives, do not put your husbands down. And this isn't just a basic love your husband thing. This is a husbands, communicate with your wives, listen and care. Wives, do not put your husbands down. Build them up. What would happen if husbands treated their wives like queens and wives treated their husbands like kings? Not because they deserve it, but out of respect for God. What kind of marriages would we have? And so God, you know, when you read what God is saying to us, it's kind of foreign language compared to what we see on television, compared to the world we live in, right? One final statement. As wives need communication and understanding, husbands need respect and admiration. As wives need communication and understanding, husbands need respect and admiration. We have a couples retreat coming up at the end of February. We still have some places available. If you're a couple and you're considering going to this, go. Go. If you would like to help with this ministry and this weekend financially for couples who are going to help offset those costs, either way, talk to John and Jessica. I really appreciate the time and effort they put into this. This is first class. It is a wonderful blessing to our couples every year. And so we're looking forward to that coming up. Pray about this. Pray about your marriage. Remind you of one quick thing. A marriage has a much better chance of surviving if the couple works on it when it's starting to, I think of a car running. You know, when the car starts acting up a little bit, that's probably the best time to go check on it. When we run it completely out of oil and the engine's locked up and we have it towed to our mechanic, right? Makes sense? And so, husbands, wives, we need to put some effort into our marriages, loving our spouse. This morning we're going to offer an invitation. If you're here and there's something heavy on your heart that you'd like us to pray with you about, or if there's someone here and you know right now you are not ready to meet God, you're not ready for the second coming, you're not ready for Judgment Day, let us help you be ready today. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always feeling good? Would you walk with Him?